Brother Dale, good to see you, brother. Oh, Brother Dale, I gotta give you a hug. I got saved over in Poland. How many of you brought your Bibles tonight?
Amen.
Let me see them Bibles.
Amen.
Everybody brought the Bibles, better see that. It is good to be here. Good to see you, Brother Dale. Melinda, Grandma West, good to see you. How many other visitors we have here tonight? First time visitors, anybody here? How many people not only invited somebody, but were successful in their invitation? We got a couple. Well, praise the Lord, see? Praise the Lord, see? You invite somebody and they're going to come out. Look, if you will, in the book of Mark in chapter 1. In the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1, I'd like to begin reading at verse 14. It says, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for another opportunity to open up your holy word and preach your Bible, preach your word. I pray that you'd bless these people that have come to hear your word. I pray that there be any lost soul here tonight that doesn't know you as their Savior. I pray they'd be saved. I pray the saints of God would be encouraged to serve you and to love you. God, I pray that you would indeed bless us with revival. God, that you'd blot out our iniquities and hide our sins in the sea of your forgetfulness. And oh God, that you'd cleanse us in the blood of Christ. And oh God, that we'd walk righteously and holy before you. And Lord, most of all, that we'd reap eternal benefits and all that we do would be unto you and they'd honor you and glorify you. Oh God, don't let the devil have the victory. Don't let our flesh have the victory. Don't let the world overcome us. God, give us the faith we need to be overcomers. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't have this problem in Poland. It's too cold. You get this cedar fever or what is it? Everybody gets around here, so I have that right now, so you be praying for me. But we have a good subject tonight, one of my favorite subjects. God said he was going to make us fishers of men. Now, I don't know about you, I don't get a chance to go much fishing, but I like to fish, probably not as much as some of you, but I've got my line wet a few times in my life. And Jesus said if you follow after him, he'd make you a fisher of men. And that's going to be my subject tonight, and I'd like to talk about fishing and fishing for men and soul winning. My Bible says, first of all, that after that John was put into prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. I want you to know that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We find from the very beginning of scriptures that God used men of God and women to preach the gospel, to proclaim the gospel. We find that John the Baptist before Jesus Christ was out preaching the kingdom. We find that when Jesus Christ came onto this scene, he himself began to preach the kingdom of God. And if you remember in John in chapter 3, he says, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There has to be a transformation. There has to be a conversion. God, the Holy Spirit, has to come upon the sinner in order to save them. And my friend, people must be born again if they ever have any hope of reaching heaven. Jesus said, you must be born again. And that's what he preached. And I want you to know that Jesus not only preached the kingdom of God, he did preach the kingdom of God, but when he preached, he demanded repentance. You don't hear that preached much often, very often these days. Even among true born-again Bible believers. Even among people who believe the old King James Bible. Now, less among them than others, but I mark it down. But it's amazing. People just don't preach repentance anymore. We got across this nation people that have walked an aisle or raised a hand or fallen into what they call easy believism. Now, I believe it's easy to believe. And I believe when God, the Holy Spirit, deals with your soul and grants you repentance, I believe it's easy to believe. You understand me now? I believe that when you understand and your eyes have been opened and you see the gospel, hey, it's easy to believe. Who would turn it down when you can see it? But it's a shame that we have so many people among believers, and I'm talking to believers tonight, that are so quick to try to get notches on their belt, they forget about actually seeing people converted. You know, it's great to invite people to come to church. It's even better when they come. It's great to go soul winning, but it's even better when you actually win some. What a joy it is to go on and preach the gospel. But you mark it down, brother and sister, tonight. It's a whole lot more fun when you preach the gospel and people actually repent and call the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus preached repentance. He demanded repentance. Look, if you will, in the book of Luke in chapter 24. And notice the command He gave to His disciples. Verse down in verse 45, just the resurrected Christ, He's already died on the cross of Calvary. He's already suffered for our sins and He's risen again. He's making an appearance unto the disciples and He begins to speak unto them. Up down about verse 45, and He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer. We talked about that the other night. Jesus suffered for us. And to rise from the dead the third day. And now notice, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Notice Jesus said that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name. I think that when we deal with sinners, we should demand they repent. I think that when we deal with sinners, our number one thing is to tell them that God demands them to repent of their dead works. You see, this generation, I talked about this the other night. This generation thinks, everybody thinks, that in order to get to go to heaven, that you have to work your way there. That you have to be good to go there. That you have to be righteous to be there. Now there's some truth in those statements. You see, the problem with religion today is it's about 90% truth and about 10% lie. And that 10% lie will kill you every time. Do you know how you kill a rat? Well, you can whop him up behind the head with a hammer if you can catch him. But you put a little piece of cheese out there, just a little bit of poison in there. Now the cheese is good, but as soon as you put the poison in it, you contaminate the cheese. The cheese is no longer good. And that's what kills the rat. Not the cheese, the poison in the cheese. The same thing with religion. When religion says you must be righteous in order to get to heaven, that's the true statement. You must be righteous. But when religion turns around and deceives people into thinking that they are righteous through their own efforts, that is the poison that damns souls to an everlasting hell. There's nothing wrong with reading the Bible. I think you ought to read the Bible. But do not believe that reading the Bible is sufficient enough to get you to heaven. I think you ought to go to church. I think you ought to preach that people ought to go to church. I think it's a good thing. I'm glad you're here. I sure would hate to have me preaching to empty chairs. I'm glad you're here. But I don't think going to church will get you to heaven. Now, going to church will give you a greater opportunity of hearing the gospel. That's true. But going to church will not get you to heaven. I think people ought to be baptized in water once they're saved. Amen. I think that we ought to baptize people that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But water baptism will not save you. And as long as people are trusting in religion instead of trusting in Christ, they're not going to be saved. And so God demands that men and women repent of their dead works. Now what are dead works? Dead works are any works that are made manifest from a dead person. Did you know that all men are dead in Adam? Did you know that? How many of you read the book of Romans? How many people read the book of Romans? Now remember, this is a church, see. I have to remind you, this is a church. That means we're a body. I'm going to go over this one more time. That does not mean that I am, a body is not just one voice and a whole bunch of ears, see. That'd be deformed. I mean, that would look really kind of weird. A body has many members, and every member needs the function. And what kind of church do we like to have? I asked you this morning, what kind of church do we want here? We want a living church. We don't want a dead church. We want a living church, right? Now, I can go to a funeral parlor and get silence. I could preach. I could praise God. I could exalt Him, and I'm not going to get a whisper. You understand what I'm saying? Now, when I pulled down here at Oak Knoll, I did not pull into a funeral parlor place. I hope I'm not looking at a bunch of dead bodies. I hope you're alive. Now I want you to be honest with me. I'm going to ask you a question. There's no trick questions tonight. This is an honest question. I pulled all the trick questions this morning. There's no trick questions. I'm going to ask you. Should we not, does not the Bible teach us to say amen every once in a while?
Amen.
If something is said that's true, it seemed like I read in the Old Testament that these priests got up and they began reading the scriptures and they had a whole bunch of people over here that said, amen, when the scriptures were read. Is there anything wrong with that? It seemed like I read through the Psalms. I mean, the psalmist gets halfway through a psalm sometime and he says, amen. Is there anything wrong with that? I mean, is there anybody here tonight that has a problem with people saying amen? I mean, is it a problem with pronunciation? I mean, if you want to say amen, like they do in Poland. I think that's how they do amen. Yeah. I get the accent wrong all the time. Or if you want to say amen, I don't care how you say it, but can you say it?
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad to hear that. What I'm trying to say, that this is a church, and that we are to help one another, and that we are to praise our Savior, and that this is a living place and not a dead place. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, I understand I'm overemphasizing, but that's my job. I'm trying to teach you something. Because I don't want you to do it just during this time. I want you to do it when Brother Kincaid is preaching.
Amen.
I want you to do it when Brother Brian is preaching. I want you to do it when Brother Steve is preaching. And I don't want you to do it just on Sunday mornings. I want you to do it when the other saints of God are lifting up and praising our Savior. I want you to open your mouth and say, amen.
Amen.
Now that's a little bit better. Now, I'd like to come to this kind of church. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight?
Amen.
Thank you. We ought to be a living church. Well, the subject nine is fishers and men. I remember the first time I went fishing, I was about 5 years old. It was up on it was a river called Huron. It wasn't a lake Huron, but it was a river called Huron up in Michigan. My dad gave me this cane pole. This cane pole was about 3 times my height. And it had a little line on it and a hook. And he put a little worm on it and I threw it out in the river. In fact, it even had a little bobber on it. And that fish came along, swimming along that river and grabbed hold of that hook and pulled that bobber underneath. And the only thing my dad says, when you see the bobber, go under the water as you pull. Well, I pulled, and the fish didn't come out. So I ran. And I ran with this pole, this long pole, and I ran. And pretty soon, the fish was following me. I caught my first fish. Now, I don't know that you would not call me a professional fisherman. You would not call that professionalism, you understand? I mean, it's kind of funny. But you know what? I caught a fish.
Amen.
Jesus said that He's going to make us fishers of men. And I don't know that everybody here is going to be a professional. But I want you to know that a 5-year-old can catch a fish.
Amen.
If you wet your line and put the bait in the water, you got a chance of catching a fish.
Right.
But if you don't ever wet your line, and if you don't ever go down to the watering hole, you're not going to catch anything.
Right.
And I think that God wants everyone here tonight to be a fisherman.
Amen.
I think that Jesus said that if you follow me, God cannot lie. Jesus will not lie. He said, if you follow, come after me, I will make you a fisherman. Are you a fisherman? Are you a fisherman? Let me rephrase the question. Do you follow Jesus Christ? Then you're a fisherman. Did you hear what I said tonight? I said, if you follow Jesus Christ, then you're a fisherman. And if you're not a fisherman, then you're not following Jesus Christ. Isn't that reasonable? Isn't that sound doctrine? Isn't that good teaching? Now I'm going to ask you a question here tonight. How many people are under the age of 25 years old? Raise your hand. Okay, that's a pretty good crowd. How many are over the age of 16? How many are between the ages of 16 and 25 and have a driver's license? Would you stand? I can't see all the hands. You're over 16, you have a driver's license, but you're under 25. Would you stand? Okay, let me see here. Okay, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All right, thank you. Now, how many we got under 16? That means you haven't reached 16 yet, and you don't have a driver's license. Would you stand? Hey, now we got some potential here. And look at these guys sitting down on the front row. Man, what's your name? Isaac. I like your haircut. What's your name? What is it? Nicole. What's your name? Adam. Oh, I know an Adam in the Bible. What's your name?
Bethany.
How come you're not standing? Oh, you're for you. All right, go ahead and sit down. Now you see that guy that came up here and sang, my boy, Jason, and his brother Corey. They call him, in Poland, they call him Kuba. That's for Jacob, because it's Corey James, so they call him Yaku, or Kuba for short. I was down in Mexico, because I'm going to tell you, you see, you can go fishing at 5 years old, literally speaking. And I would dare say if you know the gospel, you can go fishing at 5 years old. You see, God puts no age limits on His fishermen. He does require that you be born again. He does require that you know the way to heaven. You see, we're fishing for men and not fish. Well, one day, these boys, they were around 6 or 7. They were just little guys when we first went down to Mexico. 1985, 86 around. And I came home and Janice says, where are the boys? And I said, well, I thought you had the boys. Where are the boys? And we looked around. We looked upstairs, we looked downstairs, looked outside. No boys. Well, where are they at? We asked around the neighborhood. Well, they're not anywhere around. Well, where are they at? Where are these boys at? We're getting concerned. Where are our boys? We're in Mexico. We just barely know the language. We're a little bit concerned. Well, after about an hour, here they come, trooping up. Just two little guys. You'd never believe it that Jason was little at one time, but just a little guy. And they come trooping up there, and I'm dad, and I'm mad. And so, you know, I'm not always cool, calm, and collective, see. And I said, where have you boys been? And I'm, you know, getting my belt out, see. And they said, we've been preaching. You've been preaching? Yeah, we've been preaching. I'm still a little bit mad, but now I'm kind of cooling off, see. I said, where have you been preaching? Well, the same place you preach. Well, now I'm thinking, where do I preach? I'm trying to think, you know. I said, well, explain a little bit further. Well, we preach where you preach. We were in the park preaching. That park way down there? Yeah. Now I'm in a quandary, see. I'm a caught betwixt two, see. Now I'm thinking, what in the world are you doing way down there? But then I'm thinking, hey, this is a great thing, you know. You understand what I'm saying? How many fathers have been there before? Huh? You been there before? I mean, you think they ought to get a whooping or a spanking, but then you wonder, well, man, you know. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, they were down there preaching. They got fishing fever, see? And they had to go out and they stood up and preached just like we preached. Now, I don't know how good a job they did. I don't know, but they did it. You see, God had saved their souls, even as a young children. And they understood from the very beginning to be fishers of men. Now, I am not a professional fisherman in the sense of catching fish out of a lake. I remember the first time I came down to Texas and went fishing. Now, I've always fished up there, and you put a little worm on your hook, and then you put it in the water, and you got one of these Zepco reels, you know, and you sit out in a boat, or you sit on the shoreline, and you fish, right? And then a little fish comes along, grabs it, and then you pull him in. And I'd catch, you know, fish like that, I'll be honest. Little ones. Yeah, I'm in church, see, I have to tell you. Well, you know. They'd fit in my fish bowl. I caught some fish. Well, I got down to Texas, and Terry Schreiner says, we got to go deep sea fishing. And I said, boy, that sounds fun. I'd like to go deep sea fishing. Let's go. We went down to Corpus Christi or Port Aransas or somewhere and got on some big old boat, paid, I don't remember back then, $15. It wasn't too much. And they're going to take us out deep sea fishing. It was hot. And we got out there on this boat and went fishing. And we got out there so we couldn't see the shore anymore. That was an experience. And you're going up and up. And it was hot. You know, how many have been out there on something like that? Yeah, well, you know what I'm talking about then. Well, they give us this big old fishing reel, this big, lots of line on it, and then they're going to bait the fishing pole. I kid you not, folks, they put a fish on that bait line about this long. It was a big old ribbon fish. You ever seen one of them things? I told that cat, give me that fish, I'll take that home and tell them I caught it, see? I ain't never seen a fish that big, and I thought, what do you think I'm going to catch, man? What's going to bite that thing, see? But you know what the excitement is when you go fishing? I mean, when you get out there, it ain't no fishing. It's not really too much fun when they're not biting. But when that thing says, fish on! Fish on! Everybody starts reeling in. Now, that's some exciting. The guy next to me caught a shark. Caught a shark, pulled it up, and flopped it right on my feet. Well, that's a shark. Hey, that's exciting. And I want to tell you tonight that fishing for men is exciting. Amen. And I want you to know you can get some fish stories going out fishing for men. Right. God says He wants us to be fishers of men. I have some fish stories to tell you tonight. I don't know that I can stir you up to go fishing after I tell you some of these stories. I hope I can. That's my intent. When I get done, you're going to become a fisherman. I hope. When I get done, you guys are going to want to go fishing. See? I'm going to try to make fishing just as exciting as I can make it. I'm not going to tell you about all the times mosquitoes were biting me. I'm not going to tell you about, you know, all the problems with, you know, the line getting all tangled up. I'm not going to tell you about the hook, you know, getting in you. Or the time you cut your finger because you're trying to cut the fish off. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm just going to tell you about the whoppers. I'm going to tell you some true live fish stories. I'm going to tell you about fishing for men because I've been fishing for men. Since the day that God saved me, He made me a fisherman. And I've been following Jesus for 24 years now, and He's made me a fisherman. Now, I wish I could tell you, coming back from Poland, that I had a whole boatload of fish. I can't say that. But I caught a couple. So I'm going to tell you about some fish I caught. Because I want you all to become fishers of men. See, anybody can go fishing. If you're saved, you can go fishing. I caught a whopper out here at Kelly Air Force Base. Now, you know, you catch some of them fish and you just spend some time. You know, you're just working it. Some of you guys have been deep sea fishing when you catch them big, what do they call them, blue things? Yeah, them big marlins. I mean, you're going to do some work on that, right? That takes some, you know, some work. Well, this fish I caught took me 2 years to reel him in. Boy, that was some fun fishing. In fact, I didn't even get him in the boat. I had to have Brother Linda come along and help me get him in the boat. See, he's so big. Guy's name was Jim McAllister. Some of you might know him from way back. He used to come here. Now, Jim McAllister was a righteous man in the sense of the righteousness of this world. I mean, he was honest. I mean, Brother Kincaid, when he went out to actually, you know, get him in the boat, when he actually went out and led him to the Lord that moment that he passed from darkness unto light and from death unto life, at that moment, Brother Kincaid thought he was already saving because he's, you know, such a righteous man. He actually come to church. But he went out to him and says, you know what? You haven't been to church in a while. I think you're backsliding. And so Jim McAllister is this type of man. He's honest. He says, no, I'm not backsliding. I'm just lost. Well, that kind of fish is, we say, fish on. Fish on. You know what I'm talking about? Well, it took 2 years to get the hook in that guy's mouth. I was a military policeman out here at Kelly Air Force Base. And we had patrols with M16 walk up and down. And Jim McAllister was a new recruit come in. He outranked me when he came in. He came as a new person to the base. He come out there. And the guys out there at the base already knew who I was. They already knew me. They knew I was a fisherman. That I was always trying to hook them. I'd see him swimming around there and I'd try to get him in the boat, you know. And so they thought they was going to play a trick on me. And I'm coming to the chow hall. I found out this later, see. And I'm coming to the chow hall, getting my lunch, and nobody wanted to sit with me, because I was always fishing. You know what I'm talking about? See? I come into the chow hall, and all of a sudden there's no place to sit. You know, I like to sit down. No, you ain't got no seats for me, see? Well, I'm going to the chow hall, and this Jim McAllister is a new guy, and they say, hey, Riggs, come over here. And I come over the table, and say, we want you to meet this new guy here. And I said, how do you do, sir? He says, then they're egging me on, see? Is it really true that Jesus is coming again? Oh yeah, Jesus, I pull out my New Testament. He's coming again, I'm telling you. Jesus is coming again, and you better get ready, because He might come today. Oh, they thought that was a big laugh. And old Jim McAllister, you know, he's kind of sitting there thinking, Well, I got to talking to Jim McAllister. I took him down the Romans Road. I took him down John's Road. I took him back to the Old Testament. I took him to the New Testament. I told him about Jesus on the cross. I told him about Jesus in the grave. I told him about Jesus resurrecting to heaven. I gave him every verse I could think. When he came out to replace me, I'd have my Bible laying on my desk there. I'd have it open to John chapter 3 so I could read, you must be born again. Or I could read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Or I'd leave it open in Romans in chapter 10. I'd always have something. Well, after a while, he got to knowing exactly what I was going to do. And when somebody else had called, I'd hear him on the radio, because we had radio. He says, are you replacing Riggs? Yeah. He said, I bet his Bible's sitting on the desk. He's got it open either John chapter 3 or Romans chapter 10. One of them phone calls from Brother Kincaid. But I got one of them good phone calls from Brother Kincaid. I'll tell you about the other phone call. I'm out there working my post, and I get called in off of my post. I'm carrying an M16. I got a lot of responsibility. I get called off my post. In there, I got a phone call from a Reverend Kincaid, or Brother Kincaid. I thought, oh, boy. I got on the phone. Boy, what do you think you're doing? Oh, boy. You see, I got a little bit backslidden. And he was a good pastor. And he just, you know, he gave me a good whooping. That's what he did. But this was a good phone call I got. He got a good phone call. He says, hey, I just thought I'd tell you, Jim McAllister is in the boat. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Amen. But then you're so excited you can't believe it, right? Hey man, you got this fish and now you want to get it home and you're afraid you're going to lose it on the way home, right? Because nobody's going to believe that you actually caught this fish, right? So I get up the next morning. I couldn't hardly sleep that night. I get up the next morning and I saw him driving into the base. Because I was on base. I was a single man. He was married. He's driving on base. I saw him and I run down the steps and I'm walking as fast as I can. And he gets out of his car and I'm looking at him, you know. And then he got that kind of smile on his face. I said, "Praise the Lord!" He said, "Praise the Lord!" He wasn't quite as excited as I was. I said, "Is it true?" He said, "Yes, sir, it's true." Hallelujah! Glory to God! It wasn't long before Jim and Callister were leaving his Bible open at John chapter 3 and Romans chapter 10. "Hey, I caught a fish." Oh, it's exciting when you catch a fish. You ought to ask Bernie sometime about her catching some of her fish. He'll tell you. Isn't that right, Bernie? You ever catch a fish? Okay. I caught another fish one time. Brother Al Schneider went out with me. Passed away here recently. But Brother Al was a good fisherman. I mean, he's just the kind of guy, you know, who just have a good guy to take along with him when went fishing. It's not any fun when you fish all by yourself. It's a whole lot more fun when you go somewhere else. And Brother Al would go with you when we went fishing. I caught a fish. Some of you know him. I'm going to call his name. Some of you support him and pray for him. Roland Angie, his father. Boy, that was an exciting fishing trip, boy. They'd come through here. They were swimming through the church here, you know, and I saw them out there in the river. I said, "Come on, Brother Al, we got to go see if we can hook that one." And we went out there and visited. It was Angie. It was a Tuesday night. I still remember. It was a Tuesday night. Don't remember the date, but it was a Tuesday. I remember it was warm, though. San Antonio is such beautiful weather. It was really warm. And so we went to his house, knocked on the door, and just Angie was there. Roland was out driving a truck. She let us in. We began talking to her about the Lord. We went through the Romans road. Went to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Went to Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Went to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Went to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Went to Romans chapter 9, or chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. And got down there and said, "Now, Angie, do you believe that? That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Do you believe that?" "Yes, I do." "Would you get on your knees right now and call upon the Lord?" "Yes, I will." Wow, man. Amen. Fish on! Fish on! Huh? And you know what? She got these big old tears. It didn't take her 2 minutes, and all of a sudden she wanted to go fishing. She says, "Would you come back tomorrow and talk to my husband?" I said, "Well, I can't do that because we've got meetings tomorrow, but how about if I come back Thursday?" She says, "That'd be fine. He'll be here." So we came back Thursday night. Brother Al said, "Call him up." I said, "Brother Al, will you go with me? We're going to go talk to Mr. Spada." I called him Mr. Bear. And so we went to his house, and he's there. He said, "Come on in." Oh, I like that when you knock on a door and they say, "Come on in." Because I knocked on a lot of doors and they didn't say, "Come on in." They said, "Go away. I don't want any." But he said, "Come on in." Got in there and I thought, well, you know, should I use this lever? Should I use this, you know, this bobber? You know, what should I use? Trying to think of the verse to use with him. Started opening my Bible up. I said, well, I'll just go down to Romans chapter 10 and talk to him a little bit. Opened my Bible up and all of a sudden the phone rang. And I thought, boy, oh boy, is it going to be somebody calling him off? You know how it is. How many have been fishing and the phone rings? And the phone rings and all of a sudden, you know, hey, I got to go. The boss called me in and the fish just slips off the hook. And I thought, and I know Brother Al was over there praying. And then Brother Roland, he just reaches over and grabs that phone. I thought he was going to answer it. He just pulled it right off the wall. He said, "The devil's trying to keep me from getting saved." I said, okay, let's just get on our knees right now and call on the Lord. Now, I don't know which one it was. Was it you, Jason, or was it Cuba? They went fishing up in Michigan because they saw Dad fishing up my mother's behind her house was like a pond. And so they went fishing. They didn't have any bait on the hook. And they put that thing in it and they were catching fish without bait. And then they were trying to tell me they caught these fish without bait. They just, you know, "How did you do that?" "I can't catch it with bait half the time, see?" But it's possible because he's already prepared. Somebody had already dealt with him. Hey, that was a fish. Hey, some of y'all know the De La Santo family? Huh? Now, I'm trying to remember because this was years ago, see? I don't want to tell off on their age or anything, but it was a long time ago. I think it was Judy. She was Judy De Los Santos back then. Do you remember that? Where is Judy? Are you sure she's not off of the hospital having that baby? Brian wasn't even in her utmost thoughts. Wasn't even thinking about Brian. Got into her home, talked to her about the Lord Jesus Christ, encouraged her to repent of her dead works and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and she said, "I think I'll do that." And I said, "Fish on! Fish on!" And went along, Diane got saved. And then they got the fish fever, see? And then they started fishing for mom and dad. And they're all sitting here tonight. Amen. Hey, it's fun going fishing. I think we ought to be fishers of men. Now, did you know I'm an international fisherman? Huh? Did you know that? I'm an international fisherman. I've caught fish in the States. And I caught some fish down across the border. Now, I'm an international fisherman. I want to tell you about some whoppers I caught down there. To God be the glory. You realize it's God that does the work, right? I mean, Peter and disciples were fishing all night long, and Jesus comes along and said, "Children, do you have any meat?" My Bible said they fished all night long and caught nothing. Nothing. And Jesus said, "Well, you ought to try on the right side of the ship." You know, and they said, "All right, yeah, we'll try it, whatever." And then all of a sudden they had so much they couldn't bring in. It's God that works in the hearts of men and women. And it's God that catches the fish. We're just instruments in His hand. Well, I went down to Old Mexico, learned the Spanish language, and began preaching. Got the preaching out there, and I got really frustrated fishing in Mexico because these fish couldn't read. When your bait is the Word of God, and I don't mean to be irreverent, but I mean that in the sense that we're using the Word of God as seed. In fact, the Bible calls the Word of God as seed. So I'm going to use that word as bait. When the bait is the Word of God and you're trying to convince them, well, here it is written in the Word of God, and they can't read, that is frustrating. You ever try to catch a blind fish? I mean, that's just hard to do. I don't know, maybe, have you ever caught a blind fish? I don't know. Somebody said explaining the gospel is like trying to explain a rainbow to a blind man. You ever try to do that? Well, you know what a rainbow is like. It's red. No, I don't know what red is. Well, you know, like an apple. Well, I'm sorry. Okay, well, you know, yellow. You know, like the sun. No, I'm sorry. I don't know that. Well, anyway, I was frustrated. I would get down there and I would preach my heart out, and these people would be standing there listening, very interested. I'd go up to them and I'd say, "Ma'am," I said, "the Bible says this." And they said, "Yeah, but Father so-and-so," no, Padre said something else. And I said, "No, but this is the Bible." She said, "I'm sorry, I can't read." I said, "Yeah, but you know, this is the Holy Bible." She says, "Yeah, I know, the Padre's got one of them too." And he says something different. He says, "I have to go to Mass, and I have to keep all the sacraments, and I have to keep all the commandments, and I have to do this, and I have to do that." He says, "What you're telling me is different. Who am I to believe?" You ever been there before? And that was frustrating. Went home and prayed. I said, "Lord, I don't know if I should have prayed this prayer. I don't know that, you know, I was making some presumptuous sin, but I said, Lord, if this gospel can't save people that can't read, then I'm going to go home." You understand that type of prayer? Well, you know what the Lord did? He let me go back out there and do some more fishing. We got to preaching, and this lady named Isidra, right? Isidra. Been a long time. Isidra heard us preaching. She had a small home, just a dirt floor. Well, the first part had concrete on it, but the back had all dirt. And she couldn't read. And she was standing there. She says, "Would you tell me more about this?" And I said, "I sure would." Went into her home. I don't remember if Mike Jackson was with me or Bill. I don't remember who was with me at the time. I think it was Mike Jackson. Went into her home and started talking to her about the Lord Jesus Christ. And she believed in the Lord Jesus. Fish on! Fish on! And she couldn't read. And you know what she did? You know what she did? She couldn't read, and she found out we had the gospel or the Word of God on tape. She said, "Hey, hermano Miguel." That's Brother Mike, because they call him Miguel in Mexico. "Hermano Miguel, I heard that you had the Bible on tape." Yeah. Well, she got the Word of God. She couldn't read, but she got the Word of God and began listening to the Word of God on tape. But not only that, but she began taking that tape recorder to her neighbors and playing the gospel to her neighbors that couldn't read. You see, when you get saved, it's only natural that God is going to make you a fisherman. And if I know my Savior, and if I know a seed, I bet she's still fishing. I hope to see her when we go down to Mexico. I want to tell you another one. You know, fish come in all sizes, shapes, and colors. I look out here and I see some whoppers. Man, whoever reeled in that Brother Kincaid must have had some good heavy-duty line, man. Huh? And then some of these little minnows run around here, you know. They come in all shapes and sizes, right? Some are brilliantly colored. Some are ugly. But they're fish. But they're fish. Well, we were out preaching one day with Bill Kincaid. We were out preaching on the street in Mexico, and we were in a pretty rough neighborhood. I mean, in Mexico, they don't have enough money for drugs, so they use shoe glue, put it on their fingers, and they walk around like this. And they inhale that fumes from that glue. That's how they get their drugs. They can't afford, I don't know, what is it, coke and crack and whatever you have here. So they use shoe glue. Well, we were in this neighborhood where a lot of these young guys were doing this. Just stupid. Stupid. But we were out preaching, and we didn't catch a thing. Nobody, in fact, we didn't even see a fish. Didn't see anybody. A little bit discouraged. We're going to get in our car and go home. We'd just preach. And all of a sudden, this, what do they call them in Spanish? Bandero? I forget how to speak Spanish. What do they call it? Pandiero. Yes, it's pandiero. This street thug comes walking up there. I thought we was going to have some trouble. And you get just a little bit nervous when them sharks coming at you. And he said, "Where are you guys going?" He said, well, we're going home. He said, no, you can't go home. I thought, oh boy, what's going to happen? I'm not going to let you go. Well, why not? Well, because you got to come preach to us. What? Yeah, I got my gang over here and I want you to come preach. And he... I said, wait a minute. I said, we've already preached. No. I was busy working on my car and I got my gang over here and you got to come over and preach to us. Yeah, but you don't understand. We just got done preaching. Even fishermen are dumb sometimes. I mean, you know, sometimes the fish are just trying to get on the hook and the fisherman said, no, I'm going home. Just not too bright, you know. But anyway, so all right, we'll go. And we come around the corner and he's got these pandilleros, this gang sitting there. I don't remember, 10, maybe 11, 12 of them. All sitting, all lined up, ready to go. They were sitting on, you know, the hoods of cars. It was like a mechanic shop. And so we preached away. And there was a young man there by the name of Alberto. He had tattoos on his hand. He was just a regular old street guy. If you saw him on the street, you'd probably get on the other side. You'd be afraid of him. But he was sitting there. And through the process of the time, he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. You know what I have to say? Fish on! You know what Alberto's doing now? He's one of the first missionaries sent out by the church in Leon. He's preaching the gospel. Huh? I tell you, I like to fish. I like to catch people for the Lord Jesus Christ. I like to see people rescued from their sins and delivered from their drugs, delivered from their wickedness and delivered unto righteousness. I like to see people rescued.
Amen.
Oh, I like to see people saved. You want to see people saved? You got to go fishing. You got to go tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell you about Grandma Tiquette. Now, she was an old fish. I mean, she had been swimming for a long time. And she swam in a cove with the Jehovah's Witnesses. She swam out of that cove and went in with the Adventists. She came out of there and she went over with the Mormons. She came out of there and went, well, of course, she came out of that big pond of Roman Catholicism. Then she swam down the river and got into some other, I mean, if there was a place to swim, she swam there. But one day she comes swimming by our fishing lines and she invited us in. We began talking to her about the gospel. And pretty soon the gospel began to open her eyes. We began lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. We began telling them there was the blood of Christ and a cross of Calvary that was sufficient and that God himself was satisfied with the offering of Christ. And if she would be satisfied with him, she could have everlasting life. It wasn't too long before she got saved. Fish on. I remember that story because she had a daughter that had fallen off and hurt herself at a young age and she just wasn't all there. I mean, she was just, you know, one bubble off center. She'd hit her head and she had some mental problems. And I'd be giving an example to Grandma Tiquette. I'd said, well, you know, you got to have some fruit, you know, like an apple. And it wasn't long, she was a woman. She was probably 30, 40 years old. It wasn't long and she'd bring me an apple. Oh, thank you. I didn't know why she was bringing me an apple. But everything I mentioned, she'd bring me. I'd say, you know, Jesus Christ talks about the water of life. And here she comes across the water, you know. Every time I gave an example, she'd bring me something. But Grandma Tiquette got saved. Wasn't long, some big old strapping boys come knocking on my door. Jose Hernandez. And I think it was another Alberto, Beto. Come knocking on my door. They're going to put these gringos in their place. We began talking to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And where they thought they was going to put us in their place, the Word of God put them in their place and opened up their eyes. And they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior. And Jose Hernandez is the pastor of the church in León, Guanajuato. You see, I've been an international fisherman. Oh, what a joy. Hey, isn't it fun when you go out catching a fish and then you get to go home and tell everybody about it? Huh?
Amen.
Isn't it fun when you can say, hey, looky there, I caught one. Huh? I'm looking out and I see somebody caught some. Aren't you glad somebody went fishing at your door and fished in your pond? Huh? Jesus said, if you come after me, I'll make you fishers of men. Well, God in his mercy said, well, you want to try some real international fishing? How about some ice fishing? You want to try some ice? Now, you got to be pretty brave to go ice fishing. I mean, first of all, to walk out on the ice. I mean, you don't know what's going on that ice. You don't know how thick it is. At least you better know how thick it is before you go out there. But I've seen them out there. It's cold. I mean, it's cold. So I got to go ice fishing in Poland. And you know what? We caught a couple. We caught this young man by the name of Piotr. Had a big old beard on him. He was a student. He saw our sign up. It said the difference between a Catholic and a Christian. We had it on a bus stop. And he came out to our meeting and he said, I want to know more about this. And so, all right, we'll tell you. And so he invited us to his dormitory. He lived in a dormitory and went to him again. Fishing in Polish is an experience, believe me. The Polish language is a difficult language. And so we had just barely finished language school. And so he was asking us every question imaginable in the Word of God. some of those questions he asked, I had a hard time telling him when I understood how to explain it even in English. But here we're trying to explain it to him in Polish. Now I tell you that because I want you to know that God is interested in saving souls. And that he's going to use the fisherman that's actually out there trying to do something. Now I'm sure there were some fishermen better qualified than Joe and I. I'm sure that some fishermen could handle the lines much better, especially than Polish lines. And them ice fishing poles. I mean, they knew how to handle it. But here, Joe and I, never been ice fishing before. We're standing in Poland trying to win this man, this young man, this intelligent man, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've got a battle on our hands. But God's grace came out and saved his soul. Fish on! Amen. Jesus said, if you come after me, I will make you a fisherman. Paul encouraged a young man by the name of Timothy. He said, do the work of an evangelist. In the book of Proverbs, it says that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Now some of you have got 4 degrees behind your name. You've been studying all your life, but you're not wise yet. You haven't figured out what God counts as wisdom. Have you learned to be wise in the business of winning souls? Now I want to talk to you practically about fishing. I told you some fish stories now. I hope you're excited. How many of you are excited? All right. Now I want to tell you what you can do. Are you saved here tonight?
Amen.
All right, that means you're qualified to go fishing. You have your license. That's all it takes. The requirement to go fishing is to be saved. If you're saved tonight, you can go fishing. I'm going to tell you some things you can do. Number one, if you're real bold and you really want to just wade out in the water, you'd be a street preaching fisherman. I mean, you just wade right out there and fish out in the water. Now that's an experience. Let me tell you, I kind of like that kind of fishing. I've never done that kind of fishing with a real rod and pole, but I've been doing it for my Savior. I like the street preach. God says over in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 that He chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now I believe that type of preaching is to get out and to brazenly or boldly proclaim the gospel openly. Now this type of fishing that we're going to do requires you to open your mouth.
Amen.
You have to open your mouth in order to be a fisherman for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you don't have to open it as loud as I do. You don't have to necessarily stand on a street corner and preach like I do, even though I would recommend it. That's a lot of fun fishing. Uh-huh. You ever done that, brother? It's a lot of fun, isn't it? Amen. How many others here have been out wading out in the ocean, street preaching, fishing? Got any others? Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't that, that's fun, man. Them old waves crashing into you. Uh-huh. Preaching the gospel. I think there's a lot of examples in the Bible where that type of preaching was done, and I think it ought to be done. Do you hear what I'm saying? I think it's a responsibility of the church of God to have street preachers.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said? I said, if your church is lacking street preachers, there's something wrong with your church. We ought to have street preachers, and I thank God within the confines of this building tonight, there are some street preachers, because that's not the way it ought to be.
Amen.
Most of the missionaries out of this church are street preachers. Thank God for that. Joy and I, we go out street preaching. I think that kind of preaching is exemplified in the Scriptures. I think Jesus was a street preacher. I think John the Baptist was a street preacher. I think Paul the Apostle was a street preacher. Peter definitely was a street preacher. I think we have many examples in the Bible that the men of God were street preachers. They preached openly and publicly. But not everybody's going to be a street preacher. Look, if you will, in the book of Acts, in chapter 8. The Apostle Stephen was a street preacher. And he was preaching. And I want to warn you, if you're going to do this type of preaching, you get out in the waves like that, you better watch out for the undertow. And I want to warn you, this type of fishing is dangerous sometimes. Brother Joe just wrote recently and he was beat up out in the waves. Two drunks came and hit him a few times. Blackened his eye, broke his glasses, bruised his jaw. I'm just telling you frankly, you know, it's dangerous. There are dangers. Stephen here lost his life. There are some dangers. Now look what it says in verse 3. Acts in chapter 8 and verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women. Notice that. Men and women committed them to prison. Therefore, they who, men and women, right? Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, what? Preaching the word. Men and women preaching the word. And when the Bible talks about preaching, many times it's talking about preaching loudly in a public place. But also, preaching is opening your mouth and proclaiming the good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for sinners.
Amen.
That Jesus Christ rose again the third day and ascended into heaven for sinners.
Preaching the gospel requires you to open your mouth and proclaim the gospel.
Amen.
Not everybody can be a street preacher. Some of you ladies, I would not want you out on the street shouting with a loud voice. It just wouldn't be becoming. You understand what I'm saying? But some of you ladies, it says here, they, it included women, if I understand my Bible right, they went everywhere preaching the gospel. So you ladies can preach the gospel. You ladies can open your mouth and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. There's something about opening our mouths and talking about Jesus. There's something about that. Did you know you can go down on the job and you can talk about football? You can talk about basketball. You can talk about our president. You can talk about the Senate. You can talk about politics. You can talk about your boss. You can talk about your husband. You can talk about your wife. You can talk about anything, and you're not going to have one problem. But you open your mouth and start talking about Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden, literally speaking, all hell breaks loose. You understand what I'm saying? There's something about that foolishness of opening our mouths and talking about, and God chose that to save people. I think that's what convicted Jim McAllister. I think that's what brought our Roland Angie. Somebody opened their mouth. I think that's what won these ladies right over here. Somebody opened their mouths and talked to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you got one. You weren't one in silence, my friend. You didn't get saved because you just watched everybody go to church on Sundays. You got saved because somebody opened their mouth and preached the gospel to you. Isn't that true? Somebody overcame their fears, overcame their nervousness, and somebody opened up the Bible and read some scriptures to you and talked to you about Jesus Christ. Somebody did that for you. That is fishing. That is preaching the gospel. You can do it on the job. You can do it. I'm not talking about while you're working. I think you have responsibility to be responsible on your job. But I'm talking about at lunchtime. I'm talking about before work. I'm talking about after work. I'm talking about on your break. You understand what I'm saying? Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. You can go to jail for fishing in the wrong spots. Did you hear what I said? Some of you get a little bit of zeal in you and you leave your brains at home. Hey, let's go fishing. And you just go out and you just think you can do it any old way. Right? You have a responsibility. The Lord Jesus Christ expects you to be a servant unto your boss. And you owe him a day's service. If you expect a day's wage, you ought to give him a day's service. I'm not talking about wasting your time on the job. I'm talking about taking opportunities that present themselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can talk. These, I believe, men and women went everywhere preaching the word. Now notice what they preached. They preached the word of God. They did not preach themselves. They did not exalt themselves. They did not talk about themselves. They preached the word of God. They did not opinionate. They preached the word of God. I think if you don't know the answer to the question, you ought to tell the people, I don't know the answer to the question. I do not think that you ought to fake and pretend like you know something. If you don't know the answer, you can just tell them, well, one thing I know. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you have a responsibility to go home and find the answer so that you are prepared the next time to give them the answer. I think a lot of damage is done because some people are afraid to admit, I just don't know. I don't know, but I know Jesus. At 16 years old and had a driver's license, was able to drive a car. I went soul winning. I drove down to the church. I met some other brothers and we went out door knocking. I think you can go door knocking. I think some of you young people ought to organize yourselves and go out and door knock. I think you ought to go out and knock on a door and learn how to soul win. You say, well, how can I do it? I'll tell you how you do it. You get in your car. You drive to the church, you meet the brother, you pick a street, you go to the street, you go to the first door, and you ring the doorbell. And then you begin. You say, but what can I say? You'll think about it when the time comes. You see, after I got old brother, after Brother Kincaid got Jim McAllister in the boat, I took him out fishing. It wasn't within the first month I took him out fishing. Time to go fishing. Let's go. Took him out there. I said, all right, I'll knock on the first door. You knock on the second door. I knocked on the first door, presented the gospel, and it was his turn. He knocked on the door. First time he knocked on the door, lady comes to the door, and he stood there. Good afternoon, ma'am. My name is Brent Riggs. No. I'm sorry. He says, my name is Brent McAllister. No, I'm sorry. My name is Jim Riggs. No. And he just, and pretty soon they just started laughing. And then I said, excuse me, Jim, I'll help you. I said, I'm sorry, ma'am. I said, my name is Jim McAllister. And then I started laughing. Well, sometimes that happens when you're fishing. Sometimes you drop your fishing pole in the creek and it goes all the way down to the bottom. Isn't that the truth? Sometimes it happens. Well, we laughed so hard we just had to say, we'll come back tomorrow.
Huh? Took that same Jim McAllister out fishing one day right over here in San Antonio, Texas. Nice, warm, beautiful San Antonio, Texas. And this man had a sprinkler going in his yard. Now, his Bible says, you know, he that winneth souls is wise. So you got to use a little bit of wisdom. You don't want to go up to the man's door soaking wet. So you understand that when the sprinkler is sprinkling this way, then that's the time to go. See? It's a head-on attack. I said, now, Jim McAllister, we know how frontal attacks. We studied this in combat tactics. We know how to do this. Now, when the sprinkler is that away, we go. Yeah, are you ready? Here it goes. It's sprinkling. Go! And we ran. And we ran up the steps, and we hit the side. We hit that porch. Well, we forgot that porch was wet. And we both slid. Both of us into the door. Wham! Wham! It's one of them screen doors. And then one of them big old truckers. You know what I'm talking about? You know, got big old mama tattoos on his arm. He's got an iron poking out there, you know, and he goes, what do you want? We want to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to hear it. Goodbye. It was retreat. We weren't worried about the timing on the sprinklers either. I'm saying that you learn how to soul win by getting out and winning souls.
Amen.
I do not have a formula for you. I do not have an A, B, C, or D. I learned to soul win by overcoming my fears and knocking on doors.
Amen.
God, the Holy Spirit, will guide you. You will make mistakes, mark it down. You'll lose your hook a few times. You'll get it caught in the tree. You'll lose your bobber. You'll lose your pole. And you'll have to start all over again. Your boat even might sink. But God is in the business of teaching you to be a soul winner. You get out and you knock on the door and you'll figure it out. I went with Rossi Boyd, now Rossi Flores. We went fishing in beautiful, warm San Antonio. Got up there, knocked on the door. Of course, first we walked into this it was like a gate. We opened the gate and we walked in. We walked in there and a big old flower pot had fallen over. You know what I'm talking about? One of these, maybe it had like a little tree in it or something, but it was a big, it wasn't just one of them small, it was a big one. It had fallen over and it had broken. And I was a little bit hesitant about knocking on the door because I thought, you know, the guy might think that we broke it and then we'd have to pay for it, but we didn't break it. You know what I'm saying? What I'm talking about? So we knocked on the door and we're waiting. We rang the doorbell. We could hear the doorbell going ring, ring. We heard it ring, but nobody came. And I said, well, I really don't want to leave because then they're going to think that we came up and broke the thing, so I want to make sure there's somebody here. Well, we stood there for probably 10 minutes. And I'm ringing and knocking, and we did everything we get to get somebody going. Nobody came. But we had a gospel track, and we were going to leave it on the door. So I put it up on the track on the door there. And as we began walking away, that gospel track fell off the door, hit the paper, and somehow got underneath that broken pot. I don't know how that's possible, but that's what happened. And so I'm bending over trying to get this gospel track, and here comes the guy opens the door. And what am I standing over this broken pot? What does it look like? What do you think happened when you see something like that? And I stood up and I said, see, I became Pentecostal. I spoke in tongues. Well, I didn't catch that one. I'm saying that if you go out and knock on doors, pretty soon you'll figure it out. All right? There's many ways you can knock on doors. We used to do what we call the Operation Somebody Cares. You ever done that? Somebody didn't know what I'm talking about, Operation Somebody Cares. You know, people are busy, people are scared, they don't know who you are these days. I mean, you might be a convict knocking on our doors anymore. So, a man by the name of Willie Cosby came through here and taught us how to do Operation Somebody Cares. Operation Somebody Cares is where you knock on a door, you get some good gospel tracks, maybe chick tracks or whatever, you get a series of tracks, maybe three different types of tracks, and you get a little booklet. And you go to a street will have, say, 25 houses on it. And you'll write at the top of that little booklet you have, this little notebook, and you'll write the name of the street. And then on the left-hand side, you'll write the first address. And then you go up and you'll knock on the door and you say, how you do? My name is Brent Riggs, and this is Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so. We're visiting from the church at Oak Knoll. We'd like to present you a gospel tract. We'd ask you to read this gospel tract, and also we'd invite you to come out to church at any time. We'd like to know we'd tell you who we are. We're Christians, we're believers. Please read the gospel tract, and we'll be back tomorrow with another one. Very simple. You don't have to go any farther than that. You're just presenting a gospel tract for them to read, them to go through, and presenting who you are. If they take the gospel tract, you say, they took the gospel tract. Or you put a little check. Yes, they took it. If they did not take the gospel tract, you say, they did not take the gospel tract. Do not return. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then you go back the next night. Now, we used to go Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can go Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, or you can go Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. You can make it up any way you want. Well, we used to go three times. We'd knock on the door the next night, whatever it was, whether it be Wednesday, whether it be Thursday, the next night, knock on the door. How you doing, man? Do you remember us? We were here the other night. We gave you a gospel tract. Yes, I remember you. Well, we're coming back. Did you enjoy the tract? We have another one for you. Would you please read this? The reason we did that, we gave them an opportunity to know who we were. That we weren't crooks trying to case out their house. They had an opportunity to call the church and find out, you know, whether it was a real church or not. They had an opportunity to find out that we were believers, that we were Christians, that we were not convicts out there trying to steal. Then the third night, we'd go back and ask them. We'd knock on the door again and say, how are you doing, ma'am? Do you remember us? Yes, I remember you. Did you have a chance to read those gospel tracts? Why, yes, I did. Well, did you enjoy them? And then from there, you go. You understand what I'm saying? It's called fishing. You're fishing for men. There's another one thing you could do. You could go out in this beautiful, nice, warm country of yours, Texas, San Antonio, almost all year round. There's going to be people out in parks, or there's going to be people downtown, or there's going to be people walking out or watering their yard. You can walk out and find somebody that's watering their yard, and you can walk up to them too, and you can say, how do you do? My name's Brent Riggs. How you doing? What are you doing out here, watering your yard? Hey, I think it's good. You ought to water your yard every once in a while because I prefer green over brown. So, are you married? Do you have children? Really? I got four children myself. I said, did you know what? I came here to tell you something. You have a few minutes? I'm glad you have a few minutes because I'd like to tell you something about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you go from there. You understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? You're making an effort to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of the things we did in Poland, we knock on doors. And they answer the door and we say, listen, we'd like to take 5 minutes of your time and tell you how you can go to heaven without religion. And 9 times out of 10, they say, you can't go to heaven without religion. And then we'd say, oh, yes, you can. Would you give us 5 minutes? Yeah, I'd like to hear that. And then you're in. Huh? I knew a preacher by the name of Jack Hiles. I don't know if some of you heard of him. I don't agree with all his methods, but he knew how to get into people's doors, and it comes with experience. It comes with experience. I can't tell you how to do it. I'm only giving you examples. You understand what I'm saying? But you can be a soul winner. You can knock and talk with people. The whole idea of soul winning is opening your mouth and conversing with people about the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the object. He knocked on the door and the lady said, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. I don't want to talk to you. And he said, ma'am, I understand. I understand. I understand perfectly. He said, but ma'am, is that a piano? Yes, that's a piano. He says, ma'am, I understand you don't want to talk about the gospel or anything like that, but do you play the piano? She said, well, yes, I do. Do you play the piano? I've always wanted to play the piano. Do you know Amazing Grace? Well, yes, I do. I don't mean to be rude or anything or, be presumptuous, but would you play me Amazing Grace? Why, yes, I will. And so she sat down and played him Amazing Grace. Well, the door was open. You see, when you go soul winning, you're looking for an open door. Hey, we're not commandos for Christ in the sense that we're kicking down closed doors. All of these opportunities that we have, we're looking for fish that are willing to bite. We're looking for open doors. You're looking for people for an opportunity to talk to. That's why you knock on a door. If they're not interested, believe them and go to the next door. You understand? You don't have to be rude. Maybe they're busy. Huh? I passed out enough gospel tracts that I know that everybody that turns me down isn't because they're rejecting Christ. It's not a personal affront that they say, I don't want the tract. I mean, there's a lady going down, she's got all these groceries in her hand, and somebody's trying to pass, don't you want a gospel tract? Oh, that person's rejecting Christ. Don't give me a break. Huh? Had a guy come down to Mexico, big old guy. He's bigger than Jason. Make Jason look small. Named Robbie Christian. Robbie Christian. He's passing out gospel. Now, I knew we was going to have trouble with him right off the bat, because, we stamp out literally thousands of tracts. We're stamping these tracts with our address on it. And sometimes you stamp it wrong and you end up stamped twice, and so you just rip that track up and pitch it. I mean, his eyes got like this. He was offended. Somebody could have got saved by that track. What are you doing? Well, I knew right off that he was going to have trouble with him because we went downtown to pass out tracks, and somebody ripped up a track right in front of him. This is a big guy. And he didn't speak Spanish. Of course, what had happened was the man had come up and say, would you tell me more about this? And of course, Robbie's standing there. Duh. He don't understand Spanish. The guy says, well, would you tell me your name? Duh. Just standing there. So the guy's frustrated. So he just gets frustrated. He just rips up the track and throws it down. Now Robin is fit to be killed. I mean, he's ready to go after the guy. Well, fortunately, I got over there and cooled him down. What I'm trying to say is some people misunderstand you or are too busy or don't have time, right? Some legitimately, they don't have time. Do not take it as a personal affront to you or to your Savior. Unless it's obvious. Unless they obviously are against it. Well, then you would understand. But some people are busy. And if they're busy, go to the next person. You understand what I'm saying? You can be a fisherman if you get out and fish. Jesus said, if you'd follow after me, I'd make you a fisherman. You could go door to door with questionnaires. You could do something. You could go that, you go to door to door and knock on a door and say, listen, we have some questions here. What do you think it is? You know, this is a good idea to ask them their opinion first. Don't make any prejudicial assumptions about people. If they're Protestant or if they're Jehovah's Witness or they're Mormon or they're Catholic or whatever they are, don't presume that they know the doctrines of those, that particular religion. Ask them. And one of the, some of the things you could do is you can make up a little questionnaire with questions. Well, what do you think a person has to do to go to heaven? And then when they give you their opinion, you have an opportunity to give your opinion, obviously with the Word of God. I'm saying you could do something like that. Not everybody's going to be as bold and as brazen as some of us street preachers are. There's some things you can do. There's some things you can do. I think you ought to. I think you ought to take time to talk to about people. I think some of you can get on a telephone and call up people. And you could do it just like you were knocking on a door. Or you could invite them out to church. I think some of you could make it a ministry to look around in this church and see who was there on Sunday. Or who was not there on Sunday, I mean. Or who was not there on Wednesday night. And make it a ministry on Saturday night. Say, hey, brother. Call them up on Saturday night. Say, hey, brother, don't forget. We got meetings tomorrow. Huh? That's something you could do. Some of you could just go through telephone book and calling people and give a gospel witness. You'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. There's some things you can do. I remember we used to show films out there at the base of the military. I mean, there's some things you can do, brethren. You can organize a Bible study in your neighborhood. You could put flyers up and say, look, every Tuesday night, we're going to study the Bible from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, or from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. We're going to study the Bible. If you don't think you're able, you can find a brother that'll be willing to teach a Bible study. And you can invite your friends. Hey, listen, we're going to have Bible answer night. If you have a question, come, and this brother will be able to answer your questions. We're going to try to answer from the Bible. There's some things you can do. Amen. Some of you got scared in the fishing because you think you have to be a street preacher like I am, or like Brother Mike is, or like some of these other brothers are. You don't have to be that way, but you do have a responsibility to go fishing. And when I say go fishing for men, I'm talking about opening your mouth and talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just trying to give you some ideas that you can do. Some of you kids in school, you could be a witness at your school. You could start organize. You have a right to organize a Bible study in your school. You have that right. I don't have that right, but you have the right. And you can organize a Bible study in your school. Maybe you're the only one the first few times, but you can get that thing going. God is interested in saving people, and if you would put yourself in a position to catch fish, you would find out you're going to start catching some. Amen. But if you never go down to the watering hole, and you never put your line in the water, you're not going to catch anything. I'm sorry. Fish don't have feet. They're not going to come to your door. You got to go to them. When I went fishing, I had to go fishing. You understand what I'm saying? I had to go fishing. Jesus sent us into the world. We need to go out and talk to people. You can organize a Bible study at your workplace. Hey, for 15 minutes we're gonna read this verse out of the Bible. Or we're gonna start going through the book of Romans or the Gospel of John. There are some things that you can do. Some of you can visit the hospital. Do you know this would be a blessing to people? When people are hurting and they see a little bit of compassion, some of you have the gift of charity. I mean, you're just naturally likable. I'm not that away. I'm just naturally brazen. My wife says I don't smile enough when I preach. She says, you look mean when you preach. Well, I don't know how to change that. Okay? Brother Kincaid taught me. But there's some things you could do. Some of you, when I go to the hospital, I get sick. I have what they call sympathy pains. I walk in there and I see them sick and then I start feeling the same thing they feel. All the way over in Poland, I heard Brother Kincaid had one of them. What do they call it? Kidney stones? And then I start hurting. I didn't have kidney stones, but I just naturally feel it's hard for me to go to the hospital. But some of you, you're not afraid of blood. Huh? Some of you studied to be nurses. I mean, you're just naturally sympathetic to people. There's something you could do. You could go to the hospital. Now don't bother people. You understand what I'm saying? Don't be a fool. I'm talking about being wise. But you can take 5 minutes with a patient. You could just read them a gospel verse. Just pray with them. Just a simple prayer. Ask God to heal them, or ask God to give the doctors wisdom. Just something simple. Just show a little compassion. And then give them a gospel tract, an invitation to the church. Or leave your phone number where they could call you if they have any further questions. Just something like that might make a difference. That's something that some of you can do. Now, not all of you can wade out in the waves and the ocean and fish like Mike Jackson fishes. But you could do something like that. You understand what I'm saying? There's something for everybody to do. There's something you can do. You can make it a habit of just praying with people. You find out somebody has a need on your neighborhood that's been sick. Maybe you just might take them a casserole or something. I don't know. But show a little bit of compassion. I heard about a guy. They'd take a telescope. You know what I'm talking about? A telescope where you look at the stars. What is it? Yeah, a telescope. Yeah. Well, I was getting confused. There's a microscope and then there's a telescope, right? Yeah, telescope. The telescope looks at the stars and the microscope looks at them other things. Right? Okay, a telescope. He just set it out there and he pointed at Jupiter. Or he pointed at the moon or whatever. He knew what he was doing. And that's all he did. He just set it there. And people were walking by. And he said, hey, would you like to look at my telescope? Sure. And they'd look down in there and they'd see that planet, or they'd see those stars. He pointed at the North Star maybe. Hey, that's the North Star. What do you think about that? And he just started a conversation. It was an opportunity for him to talk. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying there's some things that you can do to go out and talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a soul winner? Jesus said, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. I could talk about this subject all night long. But brethren, I want you to know, Jesus wants us to be fishers. Now, it's been reported that we haven't been catching anything around here lately. Hey, I haven't caught anything in Poland lately. Now, what does that mean? That means we have to do some reevaluating. That's why we have revival. Maybe we're not doing it right. That is a possibility. Maybe we're doing it right. I'm not making a judgment here. I'm just saying that we have to reevaluate when we're not catching something. We have to consider, hey, do I got bait on the fish or what's going on here? Huh? If you're sitting in the boat for 4 hours, you don't catch anything, maybe you ought to reel that thing in and check and see if you got bait still on it. You understand what I'm saying? Don't get so proud to think that, you know, you've got it all figured out. Maybe you're not just not doing it right. Maybe you're fishing in the wrong hole. Look, do not fish just to fish. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Do not go out in the streets just to preach so you can come back and say, hey, look at me, I preach. If you're not catching something, you ought to be concerned. I haven't caught some things in Poland. I'm concerned. If you haven't caught some fish around here, you ought to be concerned. If you fished all the night long and caught nothing, there ought to be some concern. Maybe you ought to check your net. Okay? I'm not making any judgments. I'm just saying that you ought to do some evaluation. Maybe we all need to pray some more. I'm just a little bit proud. And I confess it. And I probably preach pretty proud many times. And sometimes I might even said, you got to do it my way. Well, you don't have to do it my way. You do have to do it God's way. You figure out what it is that God wants you to do, and then you do it.
Amen.
God is interested in saving souls. I know that. And if souls are not being saved, then something's wrong, and I know it's not wrong. God's not wrong. I've told you about this morning, right? He is right, and I am wrong. And if souls are not being saved, then there's something wrong with me. Because God is interested in saving souls. Other churches are saving souls. Other missionaries are saving souls. It's not like, you know, God wrote Ichabod on the world and nobody's getting saved. If other people are leading people to the Lord, we can lead people to the Lord. This church ought to be winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. This missionary ought to be winning the people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I frankly want to tell you and confess tonight that I'm ashamed. 3.5 years and so few converts. Have I really done my best? I have to do some reevaluating. Am I preaching the right message? Do I have charity in my heart? Am I doing it God's way? What kind of attitude do I have when I go out and preach? Do you understand what I'm saying tonight?
Amen.
I could go on. I want to tell you about Paul, though, before I quit. Paul the Apostle. He had something in him. He had this drive within him. I don't know how to explain this with the right words. But there was something down within him that said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Amen. From the moment that he got saved, he began telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. From the moment God saved my soul, I have had that same desire. I naturally think that everybody ought to have that desire. And I'm sincerely confounded when other people that claim to be born-again, Bible-believing Christians don't have that desire. But Paul had this burning within him that says, I got to fish for men. And he went fishing. But I noticed something else about the Apostle Paul. You read it tonight in the book of Romans in chapter 9. He had a love for people that he said that he could be accursed for his brethren. He said, I lie not. God is my witness, he said. That's do you understand the powerful statement he made? He said, God is my witness. I lie not. I could be accursed for my people. That's charity. That's Bible love. If you ever get a hold of that, you'll be a soul winner. If you ever get a hold of charity, you'll stumble around. Maybe you won't use the right hook. Maybe you won't use the right pole. Maybe you didn't do it right the right way. But if you got enough charity in you, people sense that, and you'll start winning souls. I think that's part of my problem. I lack charity. I'm reevaluating my position. I'm not backing down on preaching. I think that's clear. But I'm talking about attitude. You see, we preach that a lot. You guys heard some good preaching around here. I know you have. And I know this has been preached plenty of times. It's attitude. Two guys can stand up and preach the exact same message. One with charity and one without. And you mark it down, the guy with charity is going to be received every time. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are not out here preaching just to say, hey, I preached. I wonder, has that been my problem? That I go out every day to cover my bases, to say, well, you know, that's my responsibility. I go out. But do I have a burden? Because I've been fishing for so long that sometimes I get into a rut. And that's why we have revivals. I get out there and say, well, you know, I preach. Nobody, you know, I almost expect that I'm not going to catch anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, they're not going to believe, so I'll just go out and preach. You see, I've lost that charity. Have you lost it tonight? Have you ever had it? If you've lost it or if you've never had it, you need to search for it. I'd like every head bowed and every eye closed. I wish I could preach better. I wish I could preach so I could convince you to become a soul winner. I wish my words were so endued with the Spirit of God that they would just move you to become a soul winner. I think God wants you to be a fisherman. I'm convinced that's what the Bible says. I think these pastors around here want you to be soul winners and fishermen. I think that when we have this revival, I think what we're looking for is the wisdom of God so that we can actually win souls. Not just preach, but actually win souls. Not just to stand on a corner and to proclaim with a loud voice, but actually to win and see people converted. I want you, my prayer to God, is that each and every one of us will become soul winners. I'm not really sure how to do the invitation tonight. I'm not really sure. But I think that if you've not been a soul winner, I think you need to get right with God. I think if you have not talked to others about the Lord Jesus Christ, if you not opened your mouth and been a witness, I think that's a terrible testimony. I think some of you have refused to be witnesses because you live a rotten life. You don't live like a Christian. And rightfully, you're embarrassed to talk about Christ. Well, I have a solution for that. It's called the blood of Jesus Christ. If you would repent tonight of that and confess that sin, Jesus Christ is faithful and just to forgive you those sins. I think some of you lack charity. I think you're preachers. You preach. You go out soul winning. You go out door knocking. But I think you lack charity. I'm guilty. That's my sin tonight. Like I said, I don't know how to do this invitation. What I would like to see, if God has spoken to you, why don't you just get up out of your seat right now and get on your knees and confess your sins before God. That's what the invitation is all about, giving you an opportunity. If God has dealt with you tonight, why don't you just get out of your seat right now and get on your knees. I got some praying to do, so I'm not going to stand here and plead with you and beg with you to come down here and pray. I'm just giving you an opportunity. If God has spoken to your heart, then I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to confess my lack of charity. I'm going to confess my lack of wisdom. So God has dealt with your heart. Some of you young people, you ought to be soul winners. When I was 18 years old, I was leading in this church. I'm not preaching against those things. I'm saying you've got time to do that, but you don't got time to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be ashamed. I'm going to take off this mic. I'm going to turn it off, and I'm going to confess my sin before my God. And I'm going to ask you to do the same.